World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
All right, I'm going to try to stay disciplined today. That's one of the hardest things that I can do. I'm going to try to stay disciplined. I got some really, really good stuff I want to hit you with this morning. I want to keep us on track. We're still staking. I get reports from a lot of you still staking. Lord, just let the words of our lips, meditation of our heart, be pleasing in your sight, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And so I want to dive in a little bit. I want to talk a little bit about that, but I got something else I got to show you today. Something else I want to show. Who wants to read for us today? Proverbs 21. Somebody said, yeah, Coach, I'm going to read that. Sprint is going to throw it up there because we're after this. Who's going to do it? Good. Dave Allison, go. You're up. He didn't know it. Dave, maybe he's in shaving his face or something right now. Somebody jump in. Who's going to read Psalm? Proverb 21 today.
Sorry, Coach. I can hear. I'll read it. That's fine.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot, Dave. I should have.
I was just going for coffee. I'm good.
Okay. So, I should have spoken to your agent before I tried to get to you there.
We're going. On,
read this one.
The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord.
Wow. Stop right there. This is unbelievable because this is the theme of today's show. I hadn't even read this. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Wait a minute. Dave. I know we don't have a king, but would Donald Trump's heart be in the hand of the Lord? Go ahead.
As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will.
Who turns it?
The Lord does.
The Lord does. Okay.
Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. Ain't that the truth?
Yep.
But the Lord pondereth the hearts.
Wow.
To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice.
Do you get that, huh? To do justice and judgment. By the way, how many times has your pastor said, who are you to judge? We're not to judge. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Wow.
And high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin.
Wow.
The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of every one that is hasty, only to want.
So the thoughts of the diligent take time so they have plenty. But every one that's in a hurry, you're always going to need stuff. They're always going to need it. Always.
The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro of them that seek death.
Would you think that's Congress, Dave? Getting a treasure by a lying tongue is vanity tossed to and fro of them that seek death. I'd say it's Congress. Go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the robbery of the wicked shall destroy them.
Lord, do it.
They refuse to do judgment.
Amen. Amen. Hey, what's his name? Elon Musk came in, showed everything was going to USAID, and they're kicking against the pricks. They do not want to give up that free flow of money. Keep going.
The way of man is forward and strange, but as for the pure, his work is right.
Amen.
It is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house.
Oh, my goodness. Mark that one. GG, did you hear that one? It's better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a big old mansion. Oh, I love Gigi. We're yin and yang. I'm just kidding.
The soul of the wicked desireth evil. His neighbor findeth no favor in his eyes.
Boy, oh boy. Hey, folks, if you don't believe in God, who wrote this? Who the heck wrote this stuff? It's profound. Go ahead.
When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. And when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge.
Boy.
The righteous man wisely considereth the house of the wicked, but God overthroweth the wicked for their wickedness.
Wow, God's overthrowing the wicked for the wickedness. Judgment's coming to D.C.
Whosoever stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, wow, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard.
And if you won't meet the need of somebody else, they ain't going to meet your need. Huh? You reap what you sow.
A gift in secret pacifieth anger, and a reward in the bosom strong wrath.
Wow, 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 wow. Hey, that's killing them with kindness, right? Killing them with kindness.
Amen.
A gift in secret pacifieth anger. Hey, you really want to get somebody? Somebody did you wrong? Send them $20. Go ahead.
It is joy to the just to do judgment, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity.
It's coming, baby. It's coming.
The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead.
So, David, evidently there is a congregation of the dead. Anybody seen any of those, huh? Congregation of the dead. And the man that wandereth out of the way of understanding. So I'm telling you, who's telling you that? And why do you think they're telling you the truth? Are you in the congregation of the dead? Keep going, Dave.
Well, there's a lot of truth in that sentence right there.
It's unbelievable, isn't it? The truth of the Proverbs is unbelievable.
He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich.
Unbelievable.
The wicked shall be the ransom for the righteous, and the transgressor for the upright.
Justice is coming, baby.
It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contagious and an angry woman.
Contentious.
And contentious, angry. Yeah.
Yep. Yin and yang, yin and yang. Michelle and I are yin and yang, but we love each other deeply. I want you to know that. I don't know how many times a day I tell her I love her. So those of you worried about our marriage, don't.
There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up.
This is so good.
He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness and honor.
Wow. Why, David, following righteousness and mercy? Wow, we can use a little more of that.
A wise man scaleth the city of the mighty and casteth down the strength of the confidence thereof.
Wow. A wise man goes up to those wicked people and casts them down. Amen.
Whosoever keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles.
Oh, bite your tongue, boys. Go on, Dave.
Proud and haughty scorners is his name, who dealeth in proud wrath. Wow. The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor.
That's why welfare destroys people, folks. The Great Society destroyed people. Why? For his hands refuse to labor. Oh, man.
He covereth greedily all day long, but the righteous giveth and spareth not.
Man, oh, man.
The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination.
Wow.
How much more when he bringeth it with a wicked mind.
Wow.
A false witness shall perish, but the man that heareth speaketh constantly. A wicked man hardeneth his face, but as for the upright, he directeth his way. There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord.
No, you can't. You ain't going to beat God in the courtroom. You ain't going to do it. No, you ain't going to outsmart him.
The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord.
Saddle up your horses. Remember that song? Huh? The horse is prepared against the day of battle, ready to run to the roar. But safety is of the Lord. Wow. I could preach there on a lot of them. A lot of them. I want to do something. Spencer, if you could. I wrote yesterday. They didn't post it at News with Views. They will tomorrow, probably. Sometimes it's a day late. And Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead. Great graphic. I want to read this to you, folks, because there's some stuff in here that I hope you come here for enlightenment. Okay. Now, by enlightenment, meaning I'm not afraid to throw on the table something that might offend someone. I'm not afraid. And as I always say, the Bible tells us to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. I'm here to tell you this. I don't know all the truth. But I have the ability sometimes to recognize things that are not true. Okay? Here's the gist of where I'm going. Stay with me something. We know this now. Donald Trump is not a Christian. He's not a Christian. He has a form of godliness, but denies the power. Okay, so stay with me here a second, okay? Here's what I wrote yesterday. Maybe it's a bit clunky. Sometimes they're like that. I'm going to stop you as we go through this, and we'll show you some stuff. Perhaps I'm dating myself a bit, but I'm sure the majority of those reading this know exactly what I'm referring to when I quote from The Wizard of Oz. For those of you who don't, please take a moment and review the scene from Munchkinland. What's the title of this article? Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead. Y'all know what that is, right? The whole fairy tale, The Wizard of Oz, is very representative of the times in which we live. Like it or not, for at least the last 80 years, America's been under a spell cast upon us by the man behind the curtain. That's government, friends. And the supposedly free press, whose job it is to be a defender of liberty by holding our elected officials, selected officials, accountable. Just as Dorothy dropped into the land of Oz by propulsion of a tornado, Americans have been swirling in the vortex of government media complex, intent on compelling the citizens to remain under the strong arm of our democracy when we're a constitutional republic. We're not a democracy, never have been. As you may know, the original Wizard of Oz was written about the monetary system, the gold standard, designed to control munchkins, us munchkins, who spend most of our lives bowing to the edicts of government. Oz, Wizard of Oz, is the moniker for ounce. Yeah, did you guys know that? The gold standard. Now, for a more detailed explanation of the story plot, click there. Friends, when I put links, if you don't go to the links, you miss some of it, okay? I'm not going to do that now. You can do it on your own. In the short space that I have, please bear with me as I try to explain what I see going on in our nation. I have said since President Trump was elected that you don't have to be a man of God in order to be God's man. The Bible is replete with the stories of how God used less than righteous men to advance his kingdom. For a short reminder, check out these grunts that God used. In fact, the Bible says about whom God, in fact, the Bible says this about whom God doesn't use. By the way, stop a minute. Pull up the grunts. Click on the grunts. Who are the grunts? Who are the wicked kings in the Bible? There they are. I'm not going to take time to go down through them. But all throughout history, God used unsaved men. Unsaved men. Donald Trump is not saved. Go back there a second real quick, Spence. You did a great job. Grunts that God used. When you read these things, you got to do some research. Adonai Bezek, the Canaanite king. Let's just read the word. Okay. Saul, king of Israel. Ahab, king of Israel. Jeroboam, king of Judah. Hazael, king of Syria. Menahem, king of Israel. Manasseh, king of Judah. Nebuchadnezzar, second, king of Babylon. Herod the Great, king of Judea. Herod Antipas, or Herod the Tetrarch of Galilee. Herod Agrippa, king of Judah. All throughout the Bible, God used ungodly, unrighteous men. I'm not saying Trump is ungodly or unrighteous, but for those of you in Christianity who are expecting a God-fearing prince to... Okay, let's go back. Keep on. I got a lot to show you here today. That's why you tune in, isn't it? So Psalm 76 says this, "For promotion cometh neither from the east nor from the west nor from the south, but God is the judge, and he putteth down one, and he set up another." And let me tell you something. Whether you like it or not, Donald Trump is God's man. Don't know whether it's good or bad, but he's God's man. Or how about this one? "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, as the rivers of water. He turneth it whithersoever he will." What? God has Trump's heart. and God will turn it wherever he will. Anybody want to argue yet? Hang on. Well, how about this one? No, I'm sorry. No matter how hard it may be for us to understand, Almighty God gave us both Trump and Obama. Was it for our good or for our bad? Well, the scriptures answer that one as well. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. No matter what happens in the culture, if you're serving the Lord, it's going to happen to your good. He will make good out of it. Vinny, say amen. Because I see people scratching their head. So I do not want, it's not what Pastor Billy told me. Please notice that it doesn't say that everything will be good, only that God will make good out of it. The truth is, Donald Trump is not Christian enough for many of America's pompous, holier-than-thou, hide-your-light-under-a-bushel Christian voters. My friends, amen. He's still God's man for the hour. President Trump can be a prick. My wife got mad. She said, you shouldn't put that in there. That's because you don't understand language. You don't understand language. What's a prick? Isn't that something you get from a rose bush? Isn't there a prick on that? Huh? See, come on, they programmed us. President Trump could be a prick, and most Christians don't like pricks. But I'd much rather have Donald Trump. Here it is. I'd much rather have Donald Trump at the helm than most of America's Christian leaders. I'd rather have Trump fighting for me than T.D. Fakes or Franklin Graham or Benny Hinn, Joel Osteen, Rick Warren. As the saying says, goes, don't send a boy to do a man's job.
Amen.
Under the leadership of the previously mentioned celebrity pastors, Christianity has been virtually expelled from the American society. Most of them closed their churches at the threats of a virus. Sorry. You can keep some of these spiritual leaders who told us to love our neighbor and take the vax. Click on that one for me, brothers. Those of you who don't like Trump, holier than thou, faith leaders use medical and religious messages to promote COVID-19 vaccinations. There they are, all of them. Oh, yeah, the churches, the pastors, telling everybody take it, huh? Greg Locke, what did Greg Locke say? Greg Locke said, do not get back. Oh, I'm sorry. You will not wear masks in this church. Do not get vaccinated. Greg Locke, at least he said that. All across America, we got people taking vaxes because pastors are telling them to. Okay, going back. Put it in the chat. Folks, you got to get good little links. Go back. Look at the very bottom what that says. Last one. Right there. Love thy neighbor. Get the vaccine. These were our Christian leaders.
Amen.
And Trump's not righteous enough for you? How could any man in the pulpit tell people to wear a mask and inject poison in them? As for me, give me more Trump and fewer evangelifish. Let's get one thing straight. Donald Trump is not a born-again Christian. He grew up under the influence of Dr. Norman Vincent Peale and possibility thinking. Much of Christianity does not understand the gospel. Trump needs Jesus. He has a form of godliness, but in the eyes of power thereof, he doesn't understand the gospel. You want proof? Here you go. Click on it.
People a week. If I can save 7,000 people a week from being killed, I think that's a pretty... I want to try and get to heaven if possible. I'm hearing I'm not doing well.
Donald Trump is revealing what he claims is his motivation behind attempting to broker a peace deal between Russia and Ukraine. The 79-year-old president of the United States dialed in for an interview with Fox and Friends on August 19th and explained why he is taking action to end the war with Ukraine.
I just want to end it. I want to end it. You know, we're not losing American lives. We're not losing American soldiers. We're losing Russian and Ukrainian, mostly soldiers, some people as missiles hit wrong spots or get lobbed into cities like Kiev and towns. But, you know, if I can save 7,000 people a week from being killed, I think that's a pretty... I want to try and get to heaven if possible. I'm hearing I'm not doing well. I hear I'm really...
Okay, there you go. 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 He told us he doesn't know the gospel. Donald Trump does not know the gospel. He doesn't understand the gospel. Hang on. Now, help me out here. Wouldn't you think that with all the evangelifish that Trump surrounds himself with, someone would pull him over in the corner and say, President Trump, it's not by works. Is it Trump's fault that he doesn't understand the gospel? Is that Trump's fault? The Bible says you shall know them by their fruit. I think Trump's presidential fruit is pretty impressive. Certainly better than either of the Bush boys, Christian Bush boys, or Christian Jimmy Carter, who killed millions in the Middle East. By the way, wasn't Billy Clinton a good Baptist boy? Watch these liars. You know, it's another Lincoln. Trump is succeeding despite the lying government media complex. They've lied to us for a generation, and here's the truth. You ready? Here's what I'm writing about. MSNBC is dead. They're dead. CNN has fewer viewers than the Food Channel. Click on that because you don't believe me. Click on it. CNN has fewer viewers than the Food Channel. CNN as an ailing news channel is overtaken by Food Network and ratings war. Folks, ain't nobody watching them no more. Ain't nobody watching. Ding dong, the witch is dead. Go back. Go back. Not hearing this in the media, are you? CNN has less viewers than the Food Channel. Hillary, Bill, Obama, Comey, Pelosi, and a cadre of American elected officials are facing indictments. Now, are they going to really indict them? Well, they're facing them. They're crooks, folks. They're crooks. And the media is exposed to the hacks that they are. More Americans are watching their favorite independent truth tellers podcasts than the government media. Huh? Where do you, Joe Rogan, I could go name after pie. Everybody's got a podcast. Everybody's watched a podcast, and nobody's listening to the lying media. There's a great switch that's taking place, folks. We're right in the middle of it. The sound you hear is the death rattle of the left. Rachel Maddow, the women of The View, Joy Reid, Mika and Joe, Ellen DeGenerate, Rosie, Baba Wawa, Anderson Cooper, Don Lemon, all are yesterday's news. Hillary and her broomstick are peddling into the sunset. Don't send a preacher to do a warrior's job. You don't have to be a man of God to be God's man. Pray for President Trump's conversion. Stop expecting an unsaved man to do what our cowardly lying pastors won't. Ding dong, the witch is dead. And as Dorothy told us, there's no place like home.
Amen.
Follow the yellow brick road. That's a boom. Is that a boom?
Boom.
Is that it? See, we've been right. How long? I hate to say this. How long I've been saying I don't trust Trump. He's clearly not Christian. Over and over. Now we know. What's Paula White doing? All the pastors that are surrounding him. How can he not understand the gospel? He went before the world and said what most Christians believe. If you do good things, you go to heaven. And that's what the President of the United States believes. So I feel vindicated. I still support President Trump. I pray for his salvation. Is he wicked, connected to the wicked? I don't know. But I can tell you this. When this old boy right here got born again, everything around me changed. My friends changed. My movies changed. Everything changed when I got born again. And then we got all these born again people around him, and they can't even explain the gospel to Trump. Excuse me. I showed you the wicked kings, didn't I? Let me show you this. This is great. This is great. Pull up 3B. 16 hidden messages in the Wizard of Oz. When is this? When was Wizard of Oz done? Long time ago, right? This is the long article. But here's the symbology that was in the Wizard of Oz. Okay, go down. Number one, you'll see it. Number one. I'm not going to read them all. I'll put it in the chat. Number one, the lead character, Dorothy, symbolizes the average American. When you think of the Wizard of Oz, Dorothy is Betty. Number two, the Tin Man represents mistreated factory workers in the United States. Did you know that? It's before the unions and all this stuff. Number three, the Scarecrow stands as an allegory for Midwestern farmers and the troubles facing them in the late 19th century America. Friends, the more change, things change, the more they stay the same. The Cowardly Lion actually represents Democratic presidential candidate and populist politician Williams Jennings Bryan. Cowardly. Cowards. The Wicked Witch serve as a metaphor for powerful interests in American politics. Well, you seeing the picture? Anybody seeing the picture? The Emerald City represents America's national capital of Washington, D.C. If I just get to the Emerald City, everything will be good. Number seven. Just like the Emerald City, the Wonderful Wizard is a fraudulent illusion symbolizing the American president. The American president's just a scarecrow, man. It's a man behind the curtain. The Wicked Monkeys are a representation of the plight of the dispossessed and enslaved Native Americans and Asian laborers. Imported cheap labor. That was the monkeys. The Wizard of Oz is a cleverly disguised political treatise railing against American monetary policy in the late 19th century. By the way, have you corrected that monetary policy yet? 10, The Wizard of Oz is a feminist manifesto about female empowerment and independence. Did you ever look at that as Dorothy? Huh? Dorothy was a feminist. Huh? Wow. The cyclone, which transports Dorothy to the magical land of Oz, is a metaphor for the political upheaval caused by the populist political movement in the United States. Hey, it's happening right now. Happening right now again. There's a hurricane, tornado. The Wizard of Oz has been interpreted as both a religious and atheistic allegory at the same time. The Wizard of Oz is alleged by some to be an ode to psychedelic experimentation and drug use. The poppies, remember they were in the poppy field and they all passed out in the poppy field. The story is a tale encouraging children to not resist growing up. Instead, surpass the existing inadequacies of contemporary adults. The Good Witch of the North is a metaphoric representation of an imperial American foreign policy. Wow, this is so good. You ought to read it all. Put it in the chat where you read it all. And Toto represents the prohibitionist movement in the United States. 17. Is that it? It gives you a different perspective, huh? But folks, the more things change, the more they remain the same. The more they remain the same. We're in the middle of upheaval like we've never seen. Oh, what else? One more thing. Is it one more thing? No, I can do that. No. Somebody come on in. Real quickly. You know, there's a big battle going on right now over the Ten Commandments again. Do you guys know that? Did you know that? Dale would tell us that down in Louisiana, they're trying to post them again. And of course, where is that in my list here? Of course, what happened? The judges rolled in. Can't have it. Judge temporary blocks the Ten Commandments requirement in 11 school districts and put up a gay flag. They can put up all the other stuff, but can't post the Ten Commandments. See, some of these battles just recur again and again and again and again and again, over and over. Why? Because there's nothing new under the sun. Now, here's a question. Will the American church push to have the Ten Commandments promoted or not? Anybody want to take a bet? Anybody take a bet? Real quickly, Spencer, pull up the Ten Commandments. I think I gave you a link to it. I think I gave you a link to it. Remember this. Remember. God gave man the Sabbath. God made the Sabbath for man, not man for the Sabbath. I'm sorry, Spencer. I thought I sent it to you. The Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods before me. That's a cheap one. That's not. I can't believe I didn't send you that link. By the way, most of you probably don't even know him. Go on down. You'll find it there. I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now, does it say in the Ten Commandments who that God is in the schools, public schools? Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. Shall not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. In other words, don't call yourself a Christian and not be one. That's vanity. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor thy father and mother. By the way, the first four you have to do with your relationship with God. The next six have to do with your relationship with fellow man. Now ask yourself, which one of these should not be posted? What person in American schools should not learn to, number one, honor your father and mother, don't kill, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't bear false witness against your neighbor, don't covet your neighbor's stuff, don't covet your neighbor's wife? Would America be better if we followed those? Could you right now, friends, take somebody who'd never heard a thing about Christianity and walk them into a school where the Ten Commandments are posted? Would they know that was Christian? Of course not. They wouldn't know that. These are universal values. And we won't enforce them. Come on in, Jeff Klein.
Coach, as you're reading that, I thought about this. Every election cycle, for probably four or five election cycles, Pastor Bill would look at me and say this, both Obama elections, every one of them, he'd say, JC, I'm telling you right now, America will get the president we deserve. I said, will you quit saying that? He said, I'm just telling you the truth. Every cycle.
Hey, Jeff, do you think Donald Trump selected, do you think that God selected Donald Trump?
Absolutely, I do.
Bible says he did, didn't he?
I said in the first election, when he came down to ask, I said, listen, I said, America needs a bully to bully the bullies. That's what we need.
That's right. That's right. So right now, hang on, Mark, I'll get right with you. Our fabulous producer just threw him up there. I'm the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Don't put anybody before me. Number two. Thou shalt not make any graven image, no statues in your churches, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth below, or that is in the water under the earth. Walk into the old Christian churches, and all you see is statues of old idols. Thou shalt not bow thyself down to these idols, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am jealous, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. This guy, this is so profound. And showing mercy unto the thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Did you know that that was all the third commandment? Thou shalt not take the name of thy Lord thy God in vain. Folks, that doesn't mean cussing, although you shouldn't do that. Taking the name of the Lord thy God in vain. I used to say to our football team, if you got on that London jersey, you don't look like a fool. You represent us. If you're going to be a fool, take the jersey off. That's what that says. Take the jersey off. You're not going to act like one. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name and acts like a fool. Remember the Sabbath day. keep it holy. I got a clip on that here. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord, thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. You, your son, your daughter, your manservant, your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Boy, now we don't even know what the Sabbath day is, do we? So now he just gave you four commandments on your relationship with him. Now he says, okay, boys and girls, start by honoring your mom and dad. You want your life to go good? Start by honoring your mom and dad. Then say, love them. Honor them. But then that your days may be long upon the land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Can I tell you one of the problems many of you are dealing with? Your children don't honor you. I don't know why. We don't know why it happens. But they do not honor you. It'd be a boom from somebody.
Boom, boom.
Thou shall not kill. Pretty simple one. Abortion's murder. Thou shall not commit adultery. By the way, Spencer, go to Mr. Webster and look up adultery. What is adultery? Because we've been taught that just means sex outside of marriage. And it does mean that. But what is adultery? E-R-Y, I think. There it is. Violation of marriage bed. Okay, that's adultery. In common usage, adultery means unfaithfulness. In a scriptural sense, it means all manner of lewdness and chastity. In old laws, the fine and penalty imposed for the offense of adultery is death. In ecclesiastical affairs, the intrusion of a person into bisophric during the life of a bishop. And among naturalists, the grafting of trees was called adultery, being considered an unnatural union. So committing adultery is saying you love the Lord and serving someone else. But that would be a boon. Thou shalt not bear false. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. Stop gossiping. Stop getting jealous by wishing you had something nice that somebody else has. You don't covet the neighbor's house. You don't covet the neighbor's wife. You don't cover his servant. You don't cover his maids. You don't cover his ox. You don't covet his ass or anything that is their neighbor's. Don't you dare get resentful because someone has something you don't. Wow. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. Scroll down, please. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you that his fear may be before your faces, that you sin not. All right, Mark Trump wanted to get in earlier. Come on back in here, Mark.
Oh, you got it. You got it. The very second verse defined who God was that spoke that. So it's not some odd God. It's the very one that brought him out of Egypt. But you covered it.
Amen. Amen. Huh? Amen. Here's the truth. Not to pick up your toes. Pick up your toes.
Amen.
I wonder how many of you will make a bet with me that you can recite the Ten Commandments. $100? We don't even know them. We don't even know them. P.S., come on in. Hit the wrong button, I think. Connie. One of you come on in, Connie or P.S. P.S., I think you're up. Go, brother.
What's more dangerous, thinking those Ten Commandments don't apply or believing they do apply?
Oh, we know this. President Trump doesn't understand this. Following the Ten Commandments, remember, doesn't get you into heaven. Remember this. God made the commandments for man, not man for the commandments. You understand? God gave you the Ten Commandments so your life would be blessed. Not as a way to earn your way into heaven. Oh, I'm gonna play it. You ain't gonna like it. You ain't gonna like it, but I'm gonna play it. Get Ken Hovind ready, number four. James Thomas, come in while we're waiting on Dr. Hovind.
That's kind of, it depends on where those Ten Commandments are written. If you see them written as the word on a piece of paper, they really don't have an effect. It's when they're written on the heart where the Holy Spirit can access them. That's kind of the key. So as far as Christianity, Barack Obama's a Christian. I mean,
that's right.
So you can, the United States, he kind of made a statement. He said, the United States is no longer a Christian nation.
He did.
And he spoke truth because I don't really think it ever was a truly born again, spirit filled Christian nation. I don't think it's, you know, we have a form of God. We have religion as as the Crusaders or perhaps the Catholic Church extension or Rome extension or whatever. I mean, you have, you know, this mega thing, you know, I voted for Trump, I love Trump, whatever. Could you really look at a season in history of our founding to say, this is really when America was great? I can't ever see it because there's nothing without Jesus and without the Holy Spirit and without the kingdom of God being advanced and in people that makes people great. And it's just the Holy Spirit working in people. No, he has to use...
Sir, pull up the Mayflower Compact. I disagree with you, James. I disagree with you. I think America was a Christian nation.
Oh. Okay, give me a season when.
Okay.
Okay, so just one season when. So 1913, what took place?
Going back to November 21st, 1620. In the name of God, amen. We whose names are underwritten, hang on, the loyal subjects of our dread sovereign Lord King James, by the grace of God of Great Britain, France, and Ireland, King Defender of Faith, having undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. America was at one time a Christian nation.
Okay, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt in regards to maybe the Mayflower Compact or when the very first settlers people came here and say, we're going to establish this kingdom in this country that Jesus will be ready. I will give you that.
Good.
But since that time.
Good. That's it. Good. I don't want to go since then. We have not. Psalm 78 taught it to our children, who would teach it to their children, who would teach it to their children. America was founded as a Christian nation, and we let it get away from us. That's the way
I agree with you on that, brother.
All right. I'm not mad at you.
The way the devil steals it.
The devil stole it. Right? They told us there's a separation between the church and state. Can't have Christianity in politics. Did you see this?
Folks, we handed it to them.
Hang on. Spencer, Cracker Barrel. You want to talk about people who are freaking crazy. Pull up Cracker Barrel, Spencer. Have you guys seen this? Some girl who's now president of Cracker Barrel went to some Harvard or Yale or some atheistic, godforsaken university and learned about DEI and all that diversity and tolerance and blah, 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 blah. Huh? And what's Cracker Barrel do? Spencer, Cracker Barrel logo. Put logo. Cracker Barrel has a new logo. Look. Friends, they took the cracker know what a cracker was, right? Cracker was an old hillbilly. A cracker. A cracker barrel. Well, there's a new logo. There's a new logo. And can I tell you something? I'm like that old guy. Go back to the old one, Spencer. That there, I ain't welcome in there anymore. Cracker Barrel. Cracker Barrel. Hey, folks, we have to fight to keep our traditions and our faith. We have to fight for it. It's a war. This lady, you mark my word, she's not going to last 6 months. This new president, she ain't going to last 6 months. She thinks, see, tolerance, diversity, inclusion. Got to get that old man off of there. The old country store. No more rant. No, no. Now Crackle Barrel is. Come on in, RL. Hey, folks, you don't get this anywhere else, do you? You get this kind of stuff anywhere else? I don't think you do. Come on in, RL.
Coach, back to the 1600s and our founding fathers being so Christian, how do we look at the fact they took the land of the former inhabitants and killed most of them eventually? I just have been thinking about this in my old age. How could those people have been so Christian to do that?
To have done what, RL?
To have come upon the shores of what is now the United States and taken the land.
Oh, I got you. I got you. I understand. I can't explain that. The fact that when they come in the name of the Lord doesn't necessarily mean that they are Christians. Doesn't mean that. I know a lot of people do things in the name of the Lord that aren't very Christian. I know people who support abortion in the name of the Lord. But we cannot deny the fact that this was founded as a Christian nation. Poor Ken Hovind. I want to get this in before I forget. Number four. Like him or love it. Love him or don't like him. You ready? Sitting down. Pick up your feet. Pick up your toes. What's Ken Hovind think about the Sabbath? By the way, I think the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. I ask myself this. My whole life I've celebrated Sunday as a Sabbath. Is that a barrier to my relationship with the Lord? Would my life be better if I obeyed the Sabbath? Saturday didn't work.
Probably healthier.
Probably healthier. Listen to what Dr. Hovind says here. It's pretty good. Go ahead.
What is the truth about the Sabbath?
Hang on. You can't follow the commandments into heaven. Go ahead.
Rest on the seventh day, is that the day of worship or the day of rest? Or what is the truth about the Sabbath? Well, Nehemiah chapter 9, it says, Thou camest down upon Mount Sinai and spakest with them from heaven and gavest them right judgments, true laws, good statutes, and madest known unto them thy holy Sabbath. Wait a minute, this is Nehemiah talking about the time Moses received the Sabbath from God. That's 2,500 years after the creation. See, I don't have Moses even on that chart, but 2,500 years after the creation, God made the Sabbath known to Moses. You mean for 2,500 years, for more than a third of human history, nobody kept this? Apparently so. He revealed it to Moses. He said in Exodus 16, See that the Lord hath given you the seventh day. Every man abide in his place. Don't go out of your house on the Sabbath day. Well, if that's really one of the laws for the Sabbath, then you can't have a seventh-day church that meets someplace because everybody's going out of their house to get there, right? They talk about a Sabbath day's journey in Acts chapter 1. Jesus traveled on the Sabbath, okay? What's he doing out of his house? Bible says, remember the Sabbath, in it thou shalt not do any work. Don't you do it, nor your son, nor your maidservant, nor the stranger. Not only can you not work, you can't make anybody else work. Which means if you really want to honor and obey the Sabbath, according to Scripture, you cannot work and you can't make anybody else work, which means you cannot use any utilities. Because if you're using the city water, the city lights, the city gas, you're making somebody work. If you're watching TV, you're making somebody work on the Sabbath. If you go out to eat, you're making somebody work. You can't do that. So he rested the seventh day. The Bible says if they worked on the seventh day, Exodus 31, they'd be put to death. So you got to kill people that work on the Sabbath. It's punishable by death. Exodus 31 is a key passage on this. The Lord said unto Moses, speak thou unto the children of Israel, saying, my Sabbaths ye shall keep. It is a sign between me and you. The children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath. I mean, it's right there, Exodus 31. It's pretty clear. The Sabbath was for the children of Israel. I'm Norwegian. God made some strange rules for the children of Israel because they were to be a peculiar people. People were to look at them and say, wow, that's strange. What's different about you guys? And they were to be a testimony to the world. But he didn't command all the world to keep this. He said the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath. It's pretty clear in Exodus 31. Exodus 35 says you shall kindle no fire, which means you couldn't start your car. Don't they run on internal combustion? You know, you're starting a fire. So if you really want to keep the Sabbath, you can enjoy yourself. I've never met anybody who keeps the Sabbath. Never met one person. Jesus said in Mark 3, it's lawful to do good on the Sabbath day to save life. And they looked about, they got angry at him for his answer. And people today get angry at me because I don't keep what their idea of the Sabbath is. I say, look, I keep every day as holy. I work 7 days a week for the Lord. My whole life is soaked up into God's work. I do nothing else. This is it. So people say, do you keep the Sabbath? Oh, yeah. And Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. I keep them all. Yeah, I keep them all. Okay. Do them all. But what?
Wow, huh? Wow, Teresa, come on in.
I actually wanted to comment on the Indian thing.
Go ahead.
That's whatever the other gentleman was saying about them not being Christian. What happened was they changed their history books. So the original people were actually friends with the Indians, and obviously the Indians helped us. And they, what was I going to say? Oh, a lot of the white men were leaving to go live with the Indians. They erased because they loved the way they lived. They erased all that out of our history books. These are facts. I don't have them on the tip of my fingers, but these are facts. It's the people that came in afterwards that started controlling things that were killing the Indians off. And one of the reasons was because people weren't staying with the
tradition.
Well,
they weren't following the Ten Commandments. I get you. I'm with you. Gino, come on in.
I just wanted to say the word Sabbath, the way my understanding is, means rest.
Right.
And in the New Testament, Christ became our rest.
He became our Sabbath. Good point, Gino. Glenn.
Yeah. I read a book earlier this spring, The Light and the Glory. And in that, the original pilgrims, they did. There was an Indian by the name of Squanto who could speak English because he had been taken as a prisoner and had been to Great Britain. They taught him English so they could so the English could learn about how to operate in this country, learn more about. Anyway, so they taught the pilgrims how to plant corn and everything. So they became friends. But what happened is with subsequent generations, the desire for land and prosperity, God blessed them. And because of prosperity, they just, were interested in building their own kingdoms. So they just kind of felt, they gotten away from, from God.
Do you think the Indians, folks, think the Indians understood the gospel?
Some of them did.
A lot of Christians today don't. Michelle.
Hey, good morning, team. There's three things I think are floating around in my brain.
Right.
One, going back to the beginning when you were talking about the Wizard of Oz, and they said Toto represented prohibition. That kind of threw me through a loop because that was the only thing out there that was revealing the unfruitful works of darkness. So I don't know. I think Toto.
Go back and read it. Did you read it?
I didn't read it. I thought that was what you said. Yeah.
So hang on. Go back and read why Toto represented prohibition. It tells you why he represented it.
Okay. That would make sense because instead of decaying into a bunch of numbskulls. Okay.
Right.
On the second day of creation, going to when you were talking about not everything is good. God uses ungodly people.
Okay. Right.
And if you read Genesis on the second day of creation, that's where the firmament comes in and he separates the waters from the waters. And on that day, it does not say that this was good. That's the only day where it doesn't give that. The seventh day too, but it says it was blessed. So maybe that it means it was good. But that's the only day where it's not given a, it was good. So things have to happen that aren't good in order for the whole thing to be good, apparently.
Right.
And then the other thing about the Ten Commandments, we have to remember something. If we're looking at this as a law versus grace type of thing, look, the law brings you to the Sadducees and Pharisees, and I am sure that our government would use use the Ten Commandments as a twisted form of control, because there is no spiritual blood behind it. There is no grace behind it.
Would you agree with me, Michelle? Would you agree with me that the whole creation is groaneth waiting for God's people to show up? Would you agree with me on that?
Absolutely. One thing that you guys are doing, though, just like with Ken Hovind, you brought up Ken Hovind, and he said about Israel being a strange people, God told them to do these things so that they were set apart. And just like when I'm reading about Noah and it says, hey, Noah, go build a boat. That's, he's not talking to me. That's other people's mail. That was for Noah to go build a boat. That's why I'm kind of wondering why you guys are dropping stones everywhere. He told Joshua to do that. We're not supposed to be doing that. We're supposed to be spreading the word, spreading what he came here for, trying to deliver the gospel message. Anyway, sorry. Thank you.
Do you think we had the same spiritual condition with Joshua that we have today?
I think different terms apply. Jesus has already come.
The answer would be no. Talking about the fallen angels, the demonic realm. No, I don't. I think we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's New Testament. Principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places, weapons are warfare, not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high and lofty thing, exalt itself against the knowledge of God and bringing in captivity to the obedience of Christ.
I agree. When you're reading the mail to the churches, I'm 100% on board.
Amen. James.
Yeah, Peter kind of what Rochelle said. You know, Peter said that we are a peculiar people. You know, so this is the kingdom of God, and I think Mark Trump and all. If you're actually living in the kingdom of God, we are a peculiar people. This is why we are hated. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. So listen, good news. Good news. You ready? You can all relax. Donald Trump is not a Christian. He's not a Christian. He doesn't understand it. Was Jimmy Carter one? Was George W. Bush one when he went over and murdered all of those people over in the Middle East? Is he a Christian? Bible says you shall know them by their fruit. So I would say all of us out there can relax. Those of you who ain't on the Trump train, well, pray for the guy. Pray that Paula White comes along and explains the gospel of the kingdom to Donald John Trump. He doesn't know it. Now, hang on. Billy Clinton claimed to know it. His wife claimed to know it. Huh? Jimmy Carter was about as Baptist a boy as it could ever be. Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into the kingdom. And sometimes, old football coach had to put into the game an undisciplined, wild player just to stir things up. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Not a guy I could count on, maybe. Not a guy who was disciplined. Not a guy that made it into the honor roll. But sometimes we had to throw that disruptor into the mess to change the tempo of the game.
The wedge buster.
Hey, listen, let me tell you something. God's doing something. God's hand is upon Donald Trump, for good or bad. We ought to pray for him. See you tomorrow.